Good day and welcome back to Ripples, a podcast from the Wellness Home. Because what you do for yourself not only helps enrich your life, but it creates powerful ripples into the lives of others. This is a podcast about personal wellness and growth in the context of academic medicine in the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine. And I am your host, Dr. Adriana Djuric. Today, I am conversing with my fellow members of the wellness team, Dr. John Curran and Dr. Veena Prasad. I'm interested in knowing how boundaries relate to burnout in the clinical environment.
Thank you, Dr. Djuric. This is an important topic that we decided to address it in two different episodes of our podcast. If you haven't heard episode one, we highly recommend you listen to it first. Today, Dr. Curran will be talking mostly about setting boundaries in clinical settings. Dr. Curran, over the last several months, we have been interested in learning the concept of boundaries, specifically as it relates to burnout in the clinical environment. Can you tell us why?
You know, as a resident, fellow, faculty member in medicine, you're constantly being asked, offered, cajoled, or outright told to do additional work as part of your learning or something that, quote, looks good on your CV. Such offers are often couched as an honor or critical to one's advancement. By now, most everyone knows that if you've listened to the Ripples podcast in the past, one of the primary drivers of burnout is workload, no matter the source. And so it's really important to consider strongly all requests made to your time as you increasingly have less of that. Often the answer, of course, is going to be yes, that you're happy to do what's asked, but remember the power of saying no.
We want to say no, but we do say yes. It has happened to all of us, and sometimes it can create resentment. Adriana, it seems like being able to say no is important in setting boundaries, but it can be very hard to do. Can you explain more about what healthy boundaries are?
Sure. And this is a very important part of the conversation. Just as a quick reminder about our discussion in the last episode of the podcast, we were talking about the foundations of boundaries. Because healthy boundaries go way beyond the ability to say no sometimes. Actually, saying yes or no, the way I see it, it's more a natural consequence of establishing healthy boundaries. When you're clear with your healthy boundaries, then saying yes or saying no to different requests comes naturally. Just like the literal definition of the word indicates, boundaries are my limits, what defines me. They show me my edge, the edge in which I exist and the edge in which I am myself. So if I'm clear with my boundaries and I can connect them to my values, saying yes or no, once again, becomes an easier process. It's not always easy, definitely.
Yes, it's a work in progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
John, I think we have all had that experience being given the opportunity to do some additional work for some project and say yes, even though we feel overwhelmed. It can be clinical, non-clinical. Can you tell us the process you go through to determine whether to assent or politely decline?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head, Veena, when you talked about the term process. Whenever I receive an invitation to participate in some project or activity, you know, I think the first thing to do is to pause and truly consider the pros and cons of saying yes. And as part of that process, I invite everybody to take your time. There's really no rush. Take your time, think about whether or not this is going to be beneficial to you or not. And one of the things that I do and as part of my process is I think about what my visions and goals are for my career moving forward. You know, and then you have to ask yourself, does this particular invitation offer to write a paper, serve on a committee, oversee some project, really help me to achieve my short or long-term goals? It may or may not. It may give me critical experience I'll need later, you know, at a higher position, and so that may be beneficial to me. Or it may expose me to leadership that may be helpful later to evaluate my promotion.
That is so powerful, John. One thing to remember always is that when we're learning new ways to set boundaries, it's always messy. We've been, you know, working with a blueprint of boundaries for our whole life. And suddenly we're kind of looking back at it, deciding how to do it differently. So it's not going to be natural overnight. But one of the most powerful things I learned to say was, can I think about it?
Yes.
Sounds simple. It's not, but it's a lot easier than no. at first. So I think that that would give us that pause that you're talking about to allow the process to happen, right?
Exactly. And I think that, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of these requests are challenging. You know, I'll never forget a piece of advice I got from a relatively powerful a leader in the institution who told me that sometimes, you know, you may have to bleed for the institution or the organization, and it's not going to be easy. He said that your time, effort, and in this case, sacrifice will not go unnoticed, and it'll often help you in the future. And so, you know, for me, I've been placed in that position twice in my career, and both times, yes, it was extremely challenging. It took a great deal of time, even time away from my family and my other enjoyable pursuits, but it was ultimately rewarding on many levels, personally and professionally. You know, the other thing that I would say is, as part of this process, is ask yourself, who's making this request of me? Is it a research mentor who's wanting to develop my research career? Or maybe it's a senior faculty member who's grooming me for a specific position. Could be a program director, medical director, something. On the other hand, it could be somebody wanting you to do a great deal of work, and they take a great deal of credit. And so you always have to think about that as well. And then I guess maybe most importantly, and I left it for last, but certainly the most important is it something I would enjoy doing? You know, I think if a request is no interest of you, it doesn't further your career or demonstrate commitment to the institution, help someone in crisis, then it's probably best to say no.
And I really appreciate that you're inviting people to ask themselves these questions. These are so important and powerful. When setting boundaries, it's so important to be cognizant and connected to your values. Remember that they are an expression of who you are, and that's what boundaries are, a limit to who you are. So when we are able to connect our values, and I wonder if that's what you did in those two occasions that you mentioned, the values connected to those times, although challenging, made it very rewarding and made it worth your while.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and one of those was actually a crisis situation.
Wow.
In the program. So.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, we're healers. We're here because we want to help and support people and help in crisis. And that's also who we are, part
exactly.
of our values. So it becomes part of our limits, and boundaries have to be flexible, for sure.
I think it's so powerful that you're really aligning values and boundaries together as if they're one and the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a powerful way to look at it.
Still, setting boundaries with others and making sure they are respected can be a lot of work. Are there other things you should consider?
Yes, especially suppose you decide to say yes for some invitation to participate in some activity. One of the things that people often don't take into account is they look and say, I absolutely have time this month to do it. But when they think over the whole timeline of a particular project, it may be that while they have time now, 4 months from now, when the project or invitation may be at its peak, you may have limited or no time to actually provide that. So you always need to think of the entire timeline of the project and what you're going to be able to do along the way in each of those periods of time.
Thank you for those valuable insights, Dr. Kuran. Let me ask you on another issue that we hear a great deal from our house staff. Residents and fellows are routinely asked to pick up an extra call or make a last-minute switch with a colleague and feel like if they say no, they're perceived as not a team player. Any advice that you have for them?
Oh, yeah, this is a common issue. And I can tell you as a former chief resident who made schedules and a program director who lived and died by schedules, there's a great deal of anxiety and challenges that come with those call schedules. But here are a few of my rules for requests from colleagues. First and foremost, be very clear that at some point in your year, your month, your career, you're going to need other people to help you cover in an emergency or if something else comes up. And so you need to realize that helping other people is important, but those same people will oftentimes help you as well. So that's extremely important. When I make a switch, you always want to make sure that the scheduler, the chief resident, the program director are aware. You know, most call switches are zero-sum games. I do this call for you, you do a call for me, and that's fine. But it's important that somewhere is documented who takes calls on which days for many reasons. If, however, the coverage is kind of if you cover me, I promise to help cover you down the road, then I would tell people not to be bashful about reminding the scheduler and your colleagues about this. Memorialize it in an email so that at some point when you need to be paid back, you can remind somebody that you covered for them. And then one other thing that we see a lot is, especially now with so many viral infections and people getting sick, is use of the backup call schedule. And with backup call, sometimes just by sheer bad luck, you happen to be the person on backup when people are getting sick. And so I've seen residents who get pulled in 2-3 times a month, and other residents on the backup schedule not get pulled in at all. And as you can imagine, that can be very frustrating.
Yes.
For those residents so lucky.
We hear a lot about that.
You know, so that happens. And so look at that as an opportunity to remind the scheduler, hey, I actually got pulled 3 times last month and very few people got pulled at all. Maybe this next month when I'm on backup, can you limit my backup exposure and give other people the same opportunity? And most people are happy to do that. You would think that happens all the time, but no, that often falls through the cracks.
You may have to remind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned how hard it is to be working on the scheduler side, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to not being able to keep track who's backing who and all of that. So a reminder can really be friendly.
Oh, yeah. Schedules can be extremely complex to create and then manage over the course of a month, especially when there's a lot of illness going on, as we see now.
True.
Thank you, John, for clarifying that. I often get people that worry that setting boundaries also can turn them into bad people or a bad team player, like Vina was saying before, or even isolate them from their friends. And in reality, what I see actually happening is that the more clear you are with your boundaries and the more healthier the boundaries are, the easier it is to be willing to help, because you're not overwhelmed with requests, because you can actually connect them to your values. You can be more supportive. You can share responsibilities. So it actually allows yourself to say yes based on who you really are and the things that are important to you instead of just external pressure. And people, you know, I am a lot happier, and I have to confess, I am a lot more pleasant to the people around me when I can set clear boundaries and I can dedicate my time and energy to an activity that I enjoy. And I have not turned into a bad person. I don't think so, because I have learned, like I said last time, I'm a recovering boundary disaster, and I think I'm still nice. So I don't think that's something we need to worry about.
Thank you both for your wisdom in this area. You've given us a lot of tips, so it's up to us to pay attention to these.
And thank you all for listening and being here with us today. Remember, just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into the water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects.
Dr. Quran, what's the pebble you leave with us today? The action we can take to create wellness ripples.
Well, I think we've really touched on it in many ways, but I'll just kind of summarize. Boundaries are really your expression of your commitment, not only to yourself, but to your patients, your peers, and your family. When you set appropriate boundaries for yourself, it allows you really to be present and focused, available and motivated on those things that you are going to do. They need your full attention on those commitments you've chosen to undertake. We all know that when people try to multitask, they do poorly on everything, right? And so, you know, pick the areas, as we talked about in your process, that really benefit you, benefit your goals, your vision, things you love to do, things that will help others, and then really, really take the time to be present and motivated to do those things.
Yes, that's very important, to be present and then choose what are important to us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and check back at the beginning of every month for our newest episode.
And thank you so much, Dr. Prasad, Dr. Quran. And once again, thank you all for listening. And now go and create some wellness ripples.